was blind, but now I see. It's good to see y'all out tonight. We miss her wife, because she's not still having no headache and everything. Still giving her trouble all evening and all. She's just not able to be up or anything. But just pray for her as we remember the services tonight. Just remember one another. Appreciate the services we had this morning. The brothers fellowshipping with us and had a good time and all. We appreciate each one of you most of all. Let's turn in our scriptures to Revelations 8:1. And we'll just read that one verse, and then we'll read Revelations 5:1-7, but we want to read Revelations 8:1 first. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, there's nothing written there. It's just silence in heaven. Now, let's turn back to Revelations 5:1 and read the scripture that Brother Woodby read this morning and try to pick up from there, and maybe you'll see a little better what he was trying to say. And it's a very timely foundation for what I wanted to speak on tonight, on the Lamb. That'll be just the title of it, The Lamb, because that's what we want to try to speak on. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now, if you'll notice in verse 1, it says, in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. It's not anything on the outside of the book. It's written within, sealed on the backside. The seal is what seals it. It's on the backside, but it's not on the backside when we find it, because it's written in Revelation 6, as you six of your seals, but we've got to get to something in a mystery about that seventh. It said, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Let's all just pray together now and remember Peggy and remember each one. Father, we pray that you would just give us understanding of thy word. Give us grace this night. Lord, may we speak what you'd give us to this night, our daily bread. Give it unto us, Father, because we believe you will. We pray, Lord, you'd bless our wife yonder that wasn't able to come tonight. Her heart is here, but her body is physically sick that she couldn't make it. We pray you'd just dismiss from her the things that would hinder her. Touch her body, Lord, and make it whole. We believe thy word. We believe that you shall make all things well. Guide us now as we speak about thee. May this lamb that we spoke of, may he come tonight and stand here and break the word unto us. Use the feeble body efforts of this thy servant to speak unto your people. Guide us now by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we spoke on a message on preparation for the opening of the seventh seal. And then we spoke on the messenger of the seventh seal. That was the last message we spoke on. Tonight we want to try to just look at something and just title it The Lamb. Just title it The Lamb, because that'll be what we'll be trying to speak about. But what I want you to think on is something that maybe just leading up to the seventh seal, if we back up there and look at something, but remember and look at it kind of in the order, like Brother Woodby said this morning, that everything's in a circle. So when you come out to the seventh seal, you can come right back down to the fifth chapter of Revelation, if you look at it rightly. You start in the fifth chapter, you'll go up to the seventh seal in Revelation 8:1, You'll see it that way, but then you'll come right back down to this simple scripture, because I'll read to you in a minute from the prophet that on 109 of the seal book that he said this is actually the breaking of the seals right here when he read this scripture that I just read. He said that was the breaking of the seals. See, the book of Revelations is in symbolic form. That's why it talks about a lamb, a lion, or this, or a beast, or this, that, or... But don't look at it just like a beast. We know the beast will be somebody that will be one person there in representation, and it'll be the spirit that's in that person that you're talking about. See, it's not the devil there in his own flesh, because he can't create nothing. The beast will be the devil that's incarnate in a human flesh, that's just flesh just like ours, that has a body, spirit, and soul just like ours, but he becomes so possessed until the Bible called him a beast. Because that's just a power among the people. Well, then the Bible is written in a symbol form. Now, John here, go back and think about some of the things that we've taught many, many times before to you to try to get you to see what the Bible's speaking of. John the Revelator is the same John that wrote the book of John, you know, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, this same one that's telling you and writing about this now is the same John that wrote this John over here. And this John over here, this, you know, John of your Gospels, that John was written somewhere in the 50s or, thirty to 50 or something like that in there. Maybe 20 years after the death of Christ. But the book of Revelations was written in A.D. 95 and 96. But it's the same writer also here that come back, and when he wrote the three little Johns, you know, that's over in the last there, right next to the book of Revelation, where it's John 1, 2, and 3. That's the same John. Well, now, here is a man, and that's what I want you to get the setting of it, and maybe we can get down to where we are. And then maybe you'll see what that lamb really is. There's not a lamb up in heaven tonight. There's not a lamb up there that's taking your place. There's a Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a sacrificial lamb or some kind of a something laying there. It's the Lamb of God. John, when he was writing about what John the Baptist said about him, when John the Baptist introduced Jesus down there on the River Jordan, what did he say? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Well, see, then that same John now, when he writes this in A.D. 95 and 96 here, that same John, if he is born again in A.D. 30 or 33 along in there, he'd been born again some 60 years. He was a disciple. I've tried to tell you that many times before, that he had walked with the Lord Jesus. He'd seen all those things. He knew he was the Lamb. He knew all about that. But when it comes to this place here, of the breaking of these seals, John knew that there was no hope for man. And you read the breach, the prophet covers it, you know, in length there of how that John wept because there was no one found worthy to take the book. Well, now, there was a man, you'd say, well, looks like he'd understood. But there was a man that had done been born again 60 years, that had done been chosen to write one of the Gospels, that had walked with the Lord Jesus, personally there with him, leaned on his bosom, was a great friend of his, because he was the closest disciple to him, you know, that would talk with the Lord a lot of times in the every time the Lord would go aside to do some great thing, it would always be John along with him. You know, he was one of the beloved disciples that was really a great man. And that same John, when it come to this place in the Bible, he said there wouldn't no hopes. That unless a lamb come forth and took that book and broke those seals, that there was no hopes there. Read the breach and see what the prophet, how he kept covering that. There was no hope for a man outside of that. Now see, John saw it lost. We want to make ourselves some great big something that sometimes maybe we ain't. We like to say, well, I know I'm saved, so there's no trouble. I'm going to heaven anyway. It don't matter where I make the rapture or what I do. I'm born again. I'm a Christian, so I'm going to heaven. Now, John didn't have that attitude. Well, then that would be the wrong attitude to have. Now, you see what I'm talking about? We build ourselves up in the extent of thinking we're something. We're Christian, and we are. And we are going to heaven. And God's not going to let us fail. God's going to send the word to us to carry us through. All that's well and true, but we can't look at that and say it that way. You know, we can't look at it with an exalted estate and say, well, bless God, I don't have to worry about it. I'm going to make it. Now, John didn't look at it like that. Then where would I have the right to look at it like that? All of those disciples in their life, they were constantly striving. Paul talk about running a race. He talk about pressing the mark. You can't read in the Bible about people like they are today in this time and hour that we're living. I mean, you can't find them and put it in the Christian of the Bible, is what I'm talking about. You can find the shiftless lady, Osea, lazy, good-for-nothing bunch written in the Bible about it, sure. But now, you can't find what people claim to be Christianity now in the Bible as Christianity in the Bible. Everybody in the Bible was constantly striving, moving forward, longing, seeking after the Lord. Now all you find is you get around a bunch of people and you're just bickering and griping and complaining and just arguing and fussing and backwards and forth and all kind of problems, and everybody thinks they're right and all everybody else is wrong, and so by them being right, it don't matter what they do, so they just gripe and fuss and complain with the rest. Well, now that's not the Holy Spirit. And we talk about and we long after a refilling of the Holy Ghost, because we know that's got to come to the church. Some of you have come here and asked to be prayed for that. Well, now the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering, meekness, and all like that. Then it's sure not griping, grumbling, complaining, and arguing, and fussing, and stewing. You're not going to come out to the refilling of the Holy Ghost unless you can come to what the Holy Ghost produces first. The Holy Ghost will produce these virtues right here in a person. That's what it'll do. The Holy Ghost will produce that. Well, then you're not going to come out to a refilling of the Holy Ghost until you can come to a place of the Holy Ghost doing what He's said He'd do among us and be those things. But see, look at the church world and all the things. Last week we took it, we looked at it on the basis that the Bible promised, not that just we believe Brother Branham was a prophet and we've got tapes and we've got people that was there that actually saw the miracles and the things happen. We found the Bible promised to be a prophet. The Bible promised that there'd be a prophet to come. I give you the scriptures there of the Bible promised to be a prophet to come. Well, see, a lot of times I don't read a lot of scriptures and things like a lot of preachers do when they preach it. I just try to preach and I'll quote something to you and expecting you to know that it's in the Bible. But see, then sometimes like that, take the Bible and just prove that there was to be a prophet to come. Well, now John was looking for a lamb. John knew without a lamb here, he didn't have any hopes. Well, now what are we looking for? What are me and you looking for tonight? Well, I believe Brother Branham was a prophet. I'm in the message. Now, does that fit the scriptural fitting that John the Revelator here had when he came to the place of talking about the seals? No, that fits Laodicea that Brother Branham said they couldn't denominate this message, but he said they can organize it into Laodicea. In other words, they'll just begin to act just like Laodicea. All right, look across the country. And you tell me where, that if that ain't right. I'm talking about the people of the message now. I'm not talking about the Baptists and the Methodists and all like that. You can go to a dinner and things and be around your family and they're glad to see you, but they don't want the word you got. And you know that. They don't want you to tell them that it's wrong for them to do this and wrong for them to do that and wrong for them. They want to go to church and be told how good they are. And how great they are and how that it's really good to have, you know, you in our fellowship and all. Not even concerned with getting out of here. Now let's look back there in the Bible. There was probably a lot of people back there at the time John wrote this that was just getting into that condition, wasn't it? They was, oh, we're Christians, we're wanting to go to heaven. Yeah, when I die, I want to go to heaven, but I want to do the little things I want to do now and live like I want to. But John was so dead serious until he said, if they don't a lamb come forth to take this book and loose these seals, then I have no hopes. Now, what I want us to think about tonight, we talked about last Sunday night how that there was a messenger of the seventh seal. And we talked about Brother Branham was the man that was used, you know, the prophetic gift was in him. But I hope you caught the main point of what I was talking about. Not that it was just Brother Branham was to be a prophet, that we're glad to have a prophet in our day. But who was the prophet we talked about last week? Who was that prophet that we was talking about last week? That prophet we was talking about was the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we found that without that prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no hopes whatsoever of understanding anything. Because we found that prophet to be the baptism of the Holy Ghost that's given unto us. That's the new birth. That's the prophetic gift in this day and hour that God would come in His person, His fullness unto us in the baptism, and be that prophetic gift among us. And we wouldn't be then just looking at Brother Branham to bring things to us. We'd be looking at what he said, and by the way of him saying it, would bring us the message, but still the Holy Ghost would have to be the one that would give the interpretation. Because nobody can interpret the Bible. No man can interpret the Bible. If there's any man could interpret the Bible, then there'd be a man that could take the book. And it says here there was no man in heaven. You remember in the breach when the prophet was covering it? He said the sages were there, the great prophets were there, the great ones. At this time, many of the disciples had died and done one on. John being the last one, probably at this stage of the journey, probably every one of them had done died of the original disciples. They were in heaven. But heaven was searched all over. He couldn't find nobody there worthy. Searched the whole earth. He couldn't find nothing worthy there. And it says even under the earth that there wasn't no man worthy. And if there was any worthiness, it would have to be in the Lamb then. Right, see, the Lamb would have to be that prophet that you have. See, that was my thoughts for last week's message, was that the Holy Ghost you've got in the new birth, and if you don't have that, then you don't have the prophet, and then no wonder people don't understand what's said. See, they think, well, they'll hold up books and all. Well, we've got the message of the hour. We've got the message that tells us what the Bible says. Well, now, what is the bit of difference in that than the Methodist Church tonight holding up the Bible and say, we got the Bible, and then they'll hold up John Wesley's thoughts and say, we've got what John Wesley said about the Bible. To me, there's not a bit of difference. One's just as wrong as the other one is. Because it wouldn't make any difference what the prophet said unless you've got the Holy Ghost in you that is that prophet. It wouldn't agree with the word that the prophet of God has said. No wonder people have so much trouble reading Brother Brown's message and think he was so confused and needed to be straightened out, you know, and things like that. Because they don't have the Holy Ghost that he had to speak it to the people by. And if we don't have that Holy Ghost, then we found last week we don't have that prophet. And if we don't have that prophet, then we have no hopes whatsoever of getting the revelation of the Word. No denomination can touch it. Nobody can touch it. No man whatsoever can break that book. What most people think is that Brother Branham was the one worthy to take the book and loose the seals. There's a quotation in the Souls in Prison that a preacher told me one time. He said, look at there, said Brother Branham said he is the one that took the book. I said, my heaven. That'd make him the lamb. That man, he'd have fought you if you'd have told him he believed in deity. But yet, right there, he has proven he believed Brother Branham was God, because only the lamb, now, that's what I was getting at last week, only the prophet, only the messenger of the seventh seal could tell you what that seal is. Now, that was my background there, and I want you to see it here tonight this way. And just dropping back to looking at it from Revelation 5, John said there had to be a lamb to take a book. All right, now, that same lamb has got to be that same prophet we was talking about last week. You see what I'm driving at? The lamb, see. The messenger. The lamb is the messenger. When you get over to Revelations 10, 1 through 6 in there, it talks about one standing on the earth with his foot on the land and on the sea and raising up his hand, time shall be no more. Brother Brown said, that's Christ. That's the covenant angel. All right, then that's the messenger. That's the lamb. That's the lamb that John introduced there when he baptized him, said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You wouldn't come over here in the Bible further and get another lamb. It's the same lamb. It's the same Lord Jesus. See, that's why we believe in one true and living God, not three. Because in the Acts of this play that we're looking at, Jesus would portray himself one time as one, you know, like the lamb. Then he would change his mask or amorphe himself. And you might see him in a minute over Revelation 10 like a lion. Same person, but the way he's manifesting himself. All right, then what I was talking about last week showed him, see, as a prophet. The only prophet there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Branham was a son of man, that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, used to speak to us through. That same prophet's got to be here tonight speaking to you through me, or we're all missing it. Not only would I be missing it, but you'd be missing it. That's why it's so serious. People just play with going to church and all like that. They don't consider that. I wouldn't pay one bit of my tithe and my time that I would to go to church if I didn't believe the pastor was speaking to me, was preaching the truth. And if I saw him off the word, I'd go to him and talk to him about it. I've had to go to preachers that I didn't believe when they was preaching from the pulpit that I didn't believe what they taught was the truth. I'd go to them and talk to them about it. Because I'm not going to pay my money. I'm not going to support something with my time and my talents and money and things if I don't believe what's said. See, it's got to be the same Lord, the same God in me and you that was there in the Bible that we read about that would take the book and loose the seals. That's the one true and living God. That's not a second person there that comes. We don't get one person and this other person's out here doing something else. Because I want you to look at John, because there was something about John that we need to look at that maybe would help us right here tonight. As I said about John, now John done been born again 60 years. He done walked with the Lord. He done seen all the things happen. He was not only just walking with him, he was one of the original disciples that was chosen. But yet he, when he come to that place, he said no man was worthy. No man whatsoever. He didn't say, now I might be a little worthy, so I guess I'll try to be worthy. No. He said no man, nowhere in heaven, in the earth, or even under the earth, was worthy. Not only the Bible says there, to open the book, it says we're not even worthy, me and you are not even worthy to look on this book. Sinner can take this book and look at it and read it, but he's not worthy. But a Christian is no more worthy than that sinner is to take this book and to read it. It's what he makes us that... See, it's what he does. He's the one that makes us worthy to read the book. Only through that Holy Ghost that you'd have would you be able to read this book and understand what's being said. Then he makes us worthy to do it. I'm not worthy myself to take that and do it. I don't care how good you live or how clean a life you live or what you do. You're not worthy to do it. But he comes and makes you worthy. He comes and lives in you. See, then he can read the book. I was thinking the other day about the people of the message. You know, they just run every which way with it. And I was thinking, well, they don't believe the message. Then I got to thinking, well, yeah, they do. They believe it from up here. And see, as long as you believe something from up here, you got problems. Just with your brain. And those brothers that run off on those doctors, they believe the message from up here. They just don't have it down in here in the soul. When you get it planted into your soul, you ain't got to worry about nothing. You ain't got to worry about nothing when you get the word planted in a person's soul. They'll be there to hear the word. But if it's up here in the head, then they'll always have trouble with it. They'll never rightly have faith in the Bible and in the ministry or anything like that. They'll always have trouble with it. They'll always be ups and downs and ins and outs and troubles and heartaches with it. And that's up here. They believe it up here. They believe it with their brain, but they don't believe it with their heart. Because once it's in the heart, as Brother Branham said about a woman and a man, a young couple get married, he said you can separate them from one end of the world to the other. But he said they're just as true to one another as they was. It wouldn't matter if it's at home or whatnot. He said because their hearts still beat as one. Yeah. Just as true. You don't have to put no book of rules for them to live by if they really love one another. You don't have to put no fence before them to try to keep them from going out and doing wrong if they really love one another. Well, what happens when they love up here? Man, the other day I was talking to him about that, and he's talking about something. He said, these people saying they love each other. I said, well, I always generally just tell the brothers I appreciate them. I said, when I shake their hands, sometimes I say I love you, and when I do, I mean it. But I said, sometimes I just say I appreciate you. Because if I loved you like I ought to, I might snatch you up by the hair of the head and kick you about twice and tell you to get straightened up. That would be agape love. Filial love would be to let you just go on and believe what you want to and do the way you want to do and be good, you know. That's that kind of love. But think about now, what we were talking about last week, there was a messenger. That messenger of that seventh seal that we were talking about, we found that messenger was the Lamb. Now, Brother Woodley's talking about this morning, everything in a circle. I now just bring that right back down to the first seal now. So who would be the messenger of the first seal? It would be the same Lamb that would be your messenger of your seventh. The messenger of the first would be the same as the messenger of the seventh. The messenger of the seventh would be the same as the messenger of the first. Because there's only one God. Alright, then that messenger, John was looking for that one to come, and then that one walked out there. And John stopped weeping then. Because he could see the Lamb. He didn't worry no more. He knew there was a propitiation had been made, or a way made, that God could take that book. He knew that was God. He wasn't looking at him as a second person or another person. He knew that that was Almighty God. He knew nobody else was worthy to take the book. All right, then we must look at it like that. And Brother Branham, when he was talking about it, he said, talking about this fifth chapter, on page 109 of the seal book, he said, we'll come right back here to this same scripture Sunday night, the night of the seventh seal. All right, now, then that's why we took it last week, the messenger of the seventh seal. Now I want you to see that that messenger of that seventh seal is the Lamb of God, the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Ghost that you have in you, and what was happening to John was something personal to John. Now, think. John knew there would have to be a Lamb. Then it would be connected with John. Now, if there's a Lamb for you tonight, do you think your Lamb is up in heaven somewhere and you're down here? Then where's your Lamb? Where's your Lamb at tonight? You've got to have a Lamb to break that book to you. Oh, the Lamb done broke it back yonder, and then Brother Branham come and told us what was said. That's the reason I preached the message last week, the messenger of the seventh seal. That's the reason I preached it that way. Where that you'd separate Brother Branham from what I was talking about. Brother Branham was the one that was used to bring the message, the vocal cords, but it wasn't him that was doing the speaking. It was Almighty God using him to talk to us. See, that's the reason I want you to get that down that away. To where you'd have that when I'd say this to you about the Lamb, then you wouldn't run off somewhere else looking at something else. That you'd look back in your own life. That you'd search your own life. Because tonight we stand like John stood. Now we believe we've come through the seals and come up through six seals and up to the seventh. And we've preached about how that we believe God would meet us and break that seal unto us and bring us to the place that we would come. Is that true? Have you followed with me now for months and months and months talking about that? And that what I've been trying to get you to see that we'd have to come to a place that God Himself would have to come down to us and talk to us? Well, did you watch what Brother Woodby brought this morning to the message and said how that Brother Branham said that they brought them angels, brought him right there that night? Then there wasn't going to be a prophet standing there like Elijah. They wasn't going to be a different ones like that. There was going to be a man standing there preaching a gospel. And that gospel that he would preach that night would be the breaking of that seal. That message that he had preached, that man then would have something to do with it. Then that shows me that me and you got something to do with it. If your faith tonight, some of you claim to be born again nearly as long as I am old. If that Holy Ghost that you've had all that time, and you think about it, if that Holy Ghost that you've had all these years, if it won't come forth now and produce a lamb for you, it wasn't the Holy Ghost to start with. If you've been born again 30 minutes or 30 years, anybody hearing that on tape, I want you to think about that serious point. It's very serious. If the Holy Ghost that you've claimed to have had for how many years you've had it, it don't make any difference. If it won't come forth now, we all believe we're in the end of time. We all believe the world's here at the end. Now, what's going to happen then? If what you have won't produce a lamb, because what John had in him produced a lamb. He was longing for it. He was searching for it. He is crying for it. And it produced it. God come and honored that prophet because, I mean, that disciple there. Don't we know and aren't we taught by the prophet that John going up like that and all, don't he represent the rapture of the church? Doesn't John then represent the church? If you want me to get them, I can go back and get the books and read them to you. They're in the Church Age series and the individual books and all like that. We've read it to you many times. You ought to know the page number in your... You've got a lot more time to read than I have. You ought to know it and be able to read it. Then that lamb, that prophetic gift, that Holy Ghost that you've got and claim to have had, if it won't bring forth God now, then you could have 50 more years on the earth and it wouldn't do you no good. Now think about it. Think seriously about it. It's not just a matter of something of saying, well, we went to church tonight and we enjoyed it. We had a good time or we done this or that or the other. You know, we believe we're in the message. Will that Holy Ghost that you've got produce a lamb for you tonight? Now shake yourself and think about that. Will the Holy Ghost you've got that you've claimed to have had 20 years or whatever you've got, will that bring a lamb tonight for you? If it won't, it's not the Holy Ghost. I don't have to have an education to figure that. That's two and two making four there. If John here had a cried and wept and he represented the church, because it was going up in the rapture representing the church and all like that, then the whole church was concerned here looking for a lamb, not just John. All right, then church tonight, if God won't do what he done for John, what if God hadn't come to John there now? It would have proved John didn't have the Holy Ghost. Is that true? If God hadn't come and honored his word, it would have proved that John wasn't born again. All right, now you think about it. Will what you've got right now, will it bring a lamb? We talk about wanting the refilling of the Holy Ghost. That's the same thing that I'm talking about. The refilling of the Holy Ghost is no more than just saying a lamb to take the book. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the prophet we talked about last week and talked about how that there was a prophet to come in the end time to be a messenger to do all those things. And it wasn't Brother Branham to do that. It was the baptism of the Holy Ghost that you had. Well, right now, tonight I'm looking at it, just trying to get you to see it from this side of it. When John wept for a lamb come. You'll wish one of these days that you listened. You'll wish one of these days that you listened to what was said, because you're going to be found without a lamb. You're going to find out you ain't got a lamb. John would have found out if that lamb hadn't come forward. He'd know he didn't have it. I preached years ago. How many remembers a message I preached of some 2 years ago of the evidence of the Holy Ghost? There is an evidence of the Holy Ghost in the Bible that is so perfect and conclusive and brought right down there till Satan can't even argue about it. He can't even fuss with you about whether you've got it or not if you knew what the evidence was. But where's the people of the message when you can, a little ignoramus like myself can see that God would put something in His Bible to prove to you that you got the Holy Ghost and that Satan can't even argue with you about it. Yet you just shake your head and people do it and go away. That is not even concerned enough to be sincere enough even to listen to you. I've not changed the message. I'm still looking at that away. I've never changed my thoughts one bit about that except growed in them from the time I started, because I never did think Brother Branham was the lamb that took the book. I never was looking for a lamb like off over yonder somewhere, because the Bible is symbolic. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he could be back here in the Old Testament. See, because that was the Spirit of the living God that could be back here in the Old Testament and prophesy, and in Jesus come over and say, before Abraham was, I am. Then he would stand there one day and talking about it and just actually saying, I was the one that was back yonder. I was the bread that was in the wilderness. And they get mad and kill him. But Brother Branham said, John represented the church. Now, church, where's your longing for a lamb? You remember when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Was you seeking after that? Or was you just, well, I was just having a good time and the Holy Ghost finally decided to come on me. Now, how many of you received the Holy Ghost that way? Well, then, do you think you'll receive this, what we're talking about in the end time? You think John would have received that the same way? His whole life was at stake. Your life tonight's on the line. You better shake yourself and think about it. Your life is on the line. Some of you are old enough that natural death will take you very soon. I mean natural death. Some of you have already lived your 70. Natural death is just... Well, then you better think about yourself, because you're fixing to face God. Then you younger ones, you don't have a promise of 2 seconds from now. You're promised one thing. You're promised you'll die if you ain't changed. Now that's the promise you got. That's the biblical promise you got. Then if God won't come forth now to you, then where does that leave you? If God won't come now and meet me after all of these years, then my worship of God, my serving, my studying, my praying, my longing for God has all been in vain. And I'm lost. And that's where you stand. Because there's no one, nowhere, nobody can tell you what that seventh seal is. It takes the Holy Ghost to tell you. It takes the Lamb, the Holy Ghost, to break that seal to you. You say, it's broke to Brother Branham, and I'll get it by way of him. We got to get it by way of him. I hope you understand that. I'm no ignoramus. I hope you understand that. But if the Holy Ghost that you've claimed to have won't come forth now and produce a lamb for you, you never had the Holy Ghost. Now, will it? Most people ain't even concerned. They could care less about a lamb taking a book for them. They could care less about anything in the Bible. I'm talking about supposed to be Christians. Then they're just Christians up here in their brain. It's like I said, there's people that believe this message in their brain. They're just Christians in their brain and not in their heart. Because Brother Branham said if it's in their heart, he said you don't have to have no hotbed plants nowhere. You don't have to pet and pamper nobody. He said a real Christian is like a genuine tree out there that you don't have to pet and pamper it. You don't have to spray it. You don't have to pet it and try to make your words real good to make them feel good. When you get ready to say you're wrong and messed up, brother or sister, then you just say it and you don't have to pet and pamper around with people, you know. I've done that for years trying to get people to stay in this message. I was sitting back there a while ago in the room thinking about it. For years I've tried to get people to stay in this message. When I should have just spoke it straight out and say you're a bunch of hotbed plants and you'll leave before it's over with. Now let's see if you are. Let's see if a lamb will come forth from what you believe now, because if it won't come now, it never will come. If there won't be a lamb now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if it won't come now to you, that you've had all these years and bring a lamb to you to break that seal to you, then you never had it. That's how serious we think it. We don't consider. But Brother Branham said we'll come back right here on Sunday night. He said we'll come right back here to Revelations 5. Have you ever found that in a seal book where he come back to there? Where did Brother Branham come back to Revelations 5 on the seventh seal? Have you ever found it? Well, then you don't know what he's talking about, do you? You don't know what he's talking about in that statement then, do you? The Holy Ghost has never revealed to you what he's talking about. You say, Brother Dale, you're not talking. Well, tell me where he talked about it on the seventh seal then. That's what I told the ministers last night. I said, if you know where it's at, tell me where it's at then. Because the Holy Ghost had told me where it was at when I read it. And you've read it over and over and over and missed it, because if it didn't, you could tell me where it's at. He said, we'll come back right here to this scripture Sunday night. And you know what happened on Sunday night? That was the breaking of the seventh seal. Well, then he had to come back to there. Now, if you want me to read it, that's 109. We'll just read it to the seal book. And he said, we'll come right back here. And watch him now. He wasn't kidding, I don't think, because he was a prophet. You talk about a jubilee. Now, this is actually the breaking of those seals taking place, right in Revelation 5. We get in that half-hour silence just after this. Watch this. We started in here. We'll finish this up next Sunday night right here. Now, he says he's going to finish it up on Sunday night. Now, let's just go over on Sunday night and see where he finished today. If he said he finished it, we're going to come back to that scripture, then watch him come back to that scripture. What was the scripture he's reading there? Revelation 5, about how John wept and cried and the Lamb came forth. Now watch him. Page 556. He talks about that there's things that we don't know and the different things, how the seals, how the breaking of this seal was so great that heaven was hushed by its silence for the space of half hour. Now, is it great? What is it? It was hushed, heaven. There wasn't a thing moved for a half hour. Listen now. Now, a half hour might not be long if you're having a good time. And he said it might not be long. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the seventh seal, ain't he? Because he's talking about the half hour. He said it might not be long if you're having a good time. But in the suspense between death and life, it seemed like a millennium. High fire silence seemed like a millennium when it's between death and life. Where's anybody in the Bible that was between death and life? John was when he was standing right there crying for a lamb. Didn't he say all would be lost if that lamb didn't come? All right, then Brother Branham come right back to that same scripture, didn't he? The same scripture he started on over there in Revelation 5, that seeking for a lamb to take the book and open the seal, when he come to the seventh seal, he was standing there, Brother Branham was saying, that a half hour might not be too long when you're having a good time. Let me put it in this language. He was saying, it might not be too bad when you're having a good time, but when you're sitting down in a room like I was today, knowing if the Lamb didn't come forth and break this seventh seal, there'd be no hope for nobody. Didn't he say in the seal book that we're only presuming what those seals are unless that seventh breaks? You'd be only presuming. A lamb come forth and took the book and broke the seal to the prophet. Now, is that what happened? I mean, I was just asking you, is that what happened? All right, he went right back to Revelation 5. The same lamb that come and broke the first seal broke the second one. Third, fourth, fifth, we'll get it in a minute, how you come out to that spot. But he said, we'll come right back to this same scripture. Because the seventh seal, silence in heaven. He said it'll have to come from God. All right, the Lamb had to come forth then, didn't he? And break that seal for that prophet. And as he was sitting there in a high fire silence, you know, maybe, let me just say something about that high fire silence. And you just think and see if it's scriptural. You check it and see if it's scriptural or not. Let me just say something about that high fire silence. You know, sometimes maybe we need to learn to just shut up. I love to talk. I do a lot of talking. Everybody that's ever been around me knows that. I love to talk about the Lord. I don't know much about anything else out there, about the worldly events and sports and things like that. I might be able to talk with you about deer hunting or different things like that because I know a little bit about that. But I don't know about it. But I know a little bit about the Word, and that's what I love to talk about. But you know, if it's a high fire silence, then they wasn't nobody talking. And I asked the brothers at the ministers meeting last night, I said, do you believe we're down at the end of the sixth seal? Nell raised her hand. I said, how do you know? I said, how do you know you're at the end of the sixth seal? Come up here and tell me how you know. One of the brothers got up and made a long, lengthy speech about how that it was, the world was in trouble and trials and everything on every hand and all like that. And he could see it, the light at the end of the tunnel. I wasn't making fun of him. And I didn't even say nothing to ridicule behind him, but I should have to make him even think. I should have said, brother, you don't know what you're talking about. Because when you come to the end of the sixth seal, they ain't no more can be said. There are six seals in the Bible. The seventh seal is hush, deadly silence. When you come to the end of the sixth seal, you don't have no more to say. To prove to you, Brother Branham, now that don't mean that you quit talking, that don't mean you quit preaching, that don't have anything to do with it. But you ever notice, Brother Branham, I believe it's on Look Away to Jesus? He said, now, he said, you'll see something happen. He said, now, nothing sinful. It's about page 7, 8, 9, right along in there somewhere, and Look Away to Jesus. He said, nothing sinful or nothing. He said, not that away. But he said, you'll see me dropping back. Said, not going up, said, until this over here catches up. And he said, you'll see the message, said, the message won't go any further up. Just keep reading through there till you get what he's talking about. It might take 2 or 3 pages. But he talks about the message. He said, it won't be progressing up any further. Because when he preached the seals, all was revealed. After then, he preached marriage and divorce. Future home. Who is this Melchizedek? All of those great messages. But they never went one word after these seals. Not one word was added after the seven seals was broken. Because when you come to the seventh, shut up. And that's the reason I ask them. And I knew the ministry well enough to know that there'd be some of them jump up. And they'd start rattling, and I done had it in my mind, and I just asked the Lord to forgive me, and I just backed off and didn't say it. I done had it in my mind to get right up behind them and say, brother, you don't know what you're talking about because you're still talking, and when you come to the end of the sixth seal, you don't have nothing to say. I believe we're at the end of the sixth seal. I believe we're as far as we can go. If God don't come now, we're done. That's what I believe. I've told you that many services ago, hadn't I? I told you if God don't meet us on this seventh, we don't have no more. When we end the sixth seal, I said, if God don't meet us, we don't have no more. I'm going day by day now, and you know what I'm doing? I didn't write one note until today. I thought in my mind and studied backwards and forth through the week. But never trying to put down a note. Went and put them down today, now done turned around, went completely backwards from the way I had the notes written. See, if the Lord don't meet us, from what we've already said, then we're lost. That's how serious it is. If the Lord don't meet us, we're lost. Something in John long for God to produce that, and God done it. John represented a church, so something in a church will have to long for that, so until God will produce it. Now, let's see how it'll be produced then. Do you realize the seventh seal will have something to do with your own faith? We'll get to it before it's over with. I mean, down to it and just see all about it, maybe the Lord willing. Didn't Brother Branham, when he was preaching on Christ the mystery of God revealed right before he read his scripture, which would have been about page 13, 14, somewhere right in there, didn't he say, he said, the Lord willing, you'll see this morning why I've done what I've done and said what I've said all the years of the tabernacle. You'll see it right here this morning. He read his scripture and preached Christ the mystery of God revealed. Said it was the seventh seal. Now he said, you'll see why I've done what I've done. then it was something in his own life, wasn't it? Do you know what a prophet is? A prophet is, and I'll bring you a quotation if you'd like it, a prophet is a divine revealer of the truth that's written in his own life. You can't reveal nothing to nobody, but it's what's written in your life. You can't tell nobody about the God that I serve. You try to tell somebody about the God that Brother Branham served. You can't do that. That was Brother Branham's God he was serving. You can't. That was his personal experience. You got to tell people about God in your life. You got to talk about the God that's in your life. That's the mix-up. See, that's a denominational idea when you try to tell them about the God that's... Don't your denomination... Ain't all your churches, ain't they preaching tonight about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And how God used to do great things? And some are preaching how God's going to do great things? They don't talk about the God of now, do they? They don't want no God now. As Reverend Ike says, they want their pie in the sky. I mean the pie now, not in the sky. And that's the way they are. They want theirs in the sky, not now, because they don't want no God now. But you just think now. The Lamb that comes forth and takes the book has got to be something in your faith. It was something personally related to John that was there. And didn't the prophet say he saw his name in the seals? Well, then he must have had something related to him there. Something personal to him. Have you got something personal tonight? Have you got something personal that you could see in the Scriptures? Upon what do you base your salvation? What do you base tonight your salvation? There's an approach to the seventh seal. As Brother Woodby said last night in the minister's meeting, people will say, I know what the seventh seal is. But the other six, they don't know nothing about it. The same Lamb that breaks the seventh seal had to break the first one. Our approach to the seventh seal has been for some years now from the first up. Because you don't go to the seventh and start in the first. You start in the first and come up, and then out of what you see from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seals, out of what you see will come the revelation of the seventh. That church and that only is the way it'll come. That was the way it come to the prophet, and that's the way it'll come to me and you. Out of, because ain't nothing written in the seventh seal, and that's what the prophet said it was, and the Bible says there's not. But out of what he had taught for that week of those seals, and the Lamb breaking those seals, came forth what was necessary on the last night, which was the Lamb. Brother Branham come forth, preach a seal, he'd say, preach the first seal, he said, I don't know what the second seal is. Then the Lamb had to come and break the seal. When he got to the seventh, he didn't know what it was. And the same Lamb that had been breaking those seals all week had to come and break that seal to him. All right, what's been working among me and you? It's going to have to prove now whether it's true or not. If it ain't the Holy Ghost that's been working among us through what I preached to you about the seals, then we'll find out soon because it won't break the seventh. Ain't no Antichrist doctrine going to break no seal. It will be proved right here very shortly, and is being proved now, whether or not what I said has been the truth the whole time. Because the Lamb that I preached about breaking each seal will have to be here to break the seventh. The same lamb, not a different one. But I want you to think, it must come from what you've already received. If you don't have nothing to go on in this Bible, and anybody knows that read has ever read the seal book, there ain't a whole lot to go on in it in the seventh seal, are there? Then it's going to have to be something that God brings to you. Then it'll have to do with your faith. Don't the Bible say examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not? How do you examine yourself? We're taught we can examine ourselves by the Word. Will what you've got tonight bring a lamb? Now, I want to just leave it that away and you to think on it. There won't be any services here next week. We'll be going up Brother Whitby's. I'll give you 2 weeks to think about it. I want you to think about it. Will what you've got produce a lamb? I ain't talking about what I've got now. I have to worry about that. Will what you've got, will it bring a lamb for you to break that seal? Because I can come right here 2 weeks from tonight and preach exactly what that seal is to the letter. And if you don't have the same lamb, you won't get it. It's not just Brother Branham come to a place that God produced a lamb for him, so I got it. But what did we need Brother Branham for? John come to the place that he had a lamb to produce to break the seals in, didn't he? We didn't need Brother Branham, did we? It won't matter if I come here and preach it exactly to the letter of what it is. If you don't have the same lamb, you'll never know what was said. It'll go over your head. You'll miss it. Didn't the prophet say that back then? Didn't he say it'll go over your head? But not the words he used. It'll go over your head and you'll never see it. Then it's not what I can do. It's what the Lord can do. If the Lord don't meet us, I said every one of us now when I said that, us. If the Lord don't meet with us, the seal won't break to you. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then the seal is not going to break anyway. Because that's what breaks the seal. That's what I wanted you to see. The same lamb that you see here in the Bible, that's the simple Holy Ghost that you get in the new birth. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost you receive. That is that lamb. Not no dozen different lambs in the Bible and all like that. It's because it describes him, said he's got seven horns and seven eyes, you know, and all this, that, and the other. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Those seven horns and seven eyes, the eyes are your seers, one down through the church ages, and the horns are the powers and the things like that. The Bible tells you what those symbols are. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see where I put all the honor and the glory and everything? Not in Brother Branham. Not in me and you. But in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it won't be Brother Branham that'll meet us and break the seals to us. It'll be the Lamb. See, then when we get there, it'll be by way of what the prophet messenger has brought us. That the Lamb used to speak. Then when we get there, and you as laity, it'll be what the preacher behind the pulpit preached to you. That's the way you get it. Don't mean you can't read and God can't reveal you things, but he'll not reveal all of it to you because that'd do away with my job. He called me to preach and to break the word down. That's mine. And he won't take that away because that's it. But you read everything you can read because when you read what the prophet says, you'll know what I say is the truth when I come here and say. You'll know whether or not it's what the prophet said. But church, I put all the honor on the Lord because the Lord, if he don't meet us, we can talk about all the things we want to. We can talk about the great glorious hour we're living in and all the things. When the tribulations start falling, you'll still be talking about it. When the blocks start falling that weighs as much as 90 to 100 pound blocks of ice fall on earth, you'll still be talking about how good the Lord's been to break the seals to you. But it won't do you no good then. If He don't meet us now, and if what we've believed this far, like I told the brothers last night, God can't build us up and bring us to a place now that He can trust us, then the way I look at it, most of the people have walked away from the Lord because the Lord's provided way was to bring us to that place, to provide a lamb for us. But if He don't do it now, that's just like my wife. Let's just put it in a natural story now where we can see it in the illustration, where you can see it that way. My wife's sick. She needs healing. The Lord provided the lamb. But if her faith can't reach up and touch that, then she can't have her healing. She'll have to go through medical doctors or whatever and go and take medicine and all, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's God's provided way when we can't have exact faith. But if she could just reach up one time and touch that lamb. The lamb's already provided. The lamb's done provided for me and you tonight. But if my faith won't reach out and get that, then it's not for me. I may have to go by the grave or some other form. See, it wouldn't be for me. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for the Word. We ask that You would just guide each one of us. We know that lamb has been provided. We know Your people, Lord, need that lamb. And we pray, Lord, that You would just come down and meet among us. You've already promised You would, and we believe You're here. For our wife yonder, Lord, help her faith to reach up to You. Help her to touch You for the lamb, for her healing. And Lord, for those here maybe that would need You, don't know Thee, help them to have faith. Because we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is that lamb. We also believe that You're that prophet, Lord. And You're that Holy Ghost that we have. You're the propitiation for all our sins. It's all in You. Lord, just guide us. In Jesus' name. Let's just sing a hymn if anyone has a need. Just as I am, I believe it's 220. If you have a need for healing, salvation, or whatever you need, just come and let's pray together. Believe the Word. The Lord will take care of it. Let's just sing. Just as I am. Lisa's had trouble with her back. It's been hurting her now for quite a while. She can't breathe or nothing like that. All of us have had back trouble. We know what it is. Yeah. Satan has hindered and done everything. But just believe the Word. Yeah. Doctors can give medicine for it. That's fine. Go take it. You can do anything to help the body. But believe that there's a healer. When He died at Calvary, by His stripes we were healed. Just believe the Word. Just accept it that way. Don't look for anything and think, well, it'll go away all at once or anything like that. It might do it. We believe it will. But just go believe the Lord. When it hurts more, just say, well, I'm healed by His stripes. I'm healed. And I'm going to take this medicine and I'm going to do all I can. And I'm going to do everything I can. But by His stripes, I'm healed. And you'll see it lead you that way. Father.
Our Heavenly Father.
We ask, Lord, for our sister, that this be dismissed from her, this back trouble. We place the blood of Jesus Christ between our sister and this earth. We believe that you will just take it away, that you will grant her understanding, that, Lord, in your word, you said that if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. We thank you for that. We believe in the word, and our sister believes it. Just grant this, Lord. Deliver her from this hurt, Lord. In Jesus' name. Our sister desires a closer walk with the Lord. We all do that. Let's just pray with her. Father, we thank you for our sister. We believe, Lord, that you've already provided a closer walk for her, because that's what's drawing her. We just lay our hands upon her to confirm that, that you'd give her that closer walk. Fill her heart with love, joy, and peace, that, Lord, the neighbors may see it, that all that are around her may see the light that she has in her life of happiness all the time and sweetness in you. Let it be, Lord, because your word says it. We believe your word. In Jesus' name. Anyone else? To find, O Lamb of God, I come. I'm just going to lay this handkerchief up here and anoint it with oil, and when I go home I lay it on my wife, because that's scriptural. That you just do prayer clause and things in the Bible. It's scriptural. Because when they touched Jesus, then that was healing for the little woman that needed it. And as we dismiss, we just all pray together, and I'll just lay my hand on this handkerchief, and then I'll go home and lay it on my wife. And just believe that the Lord will take care of it. I believe it, don't you? We believe the word. We believe that lamb. He's provided a lamb for us. That lamb is here with us. Let's pray together. Father, as we lay hands upon this handkerchief, Lord, we believe your word that by your stripes our wife's healed. We'll go home, lay it on her, Lord, in honor of your word. We believe you, that you, Lord, will take that sickness away from her. We rebuke that headaches, the things that's causing it, in Jesus' name. Because we know that we can have what our desires is, and our desires is not to consume it on anything, but to just believe your word. Dismiss us, Lord, now from one another with love and grace. Protect us, Lord, as we travel on our highways to our homes. Guide us together, Lord. May we all be lifted up in you. May you, Lord, be the author and finisher of our faith. That great lamb that took the book, that same lamb is here tonight to open that book and reveal yourself unto us. In Jesus is your name. Amen. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you.